10 years ago. This is Future Tense from American Public Media. I'm John Gordon. Today, a nostalgic trip through the Future Tense archives. 10 years ago this month, we covered a new virus, privacy and security issues, the Y2K bug, which much to our credit, we reported on rather dismissively, and many other stories, of course. Looking back, some of the coverage holds up, but other stories sound a little silly a decade later. On November 11th, 1999, we reported on a new email virus called Bubble Boy, which was the first bit of malicious code, well, it was sort of malicious, that required only that a user open an email to get infected. The user did not have to open an email attachment. Our guest was Dan Schrader from security company Trend Micro.
Bubble Boy is a proof of concept virus. It has no payload. It doesn't try to do any damage on your computer. And more importantly, Bubble Boy is not what we call in the wild. That is, it's not infecting anyone's computers today. This is simply a technology demonstration. A hacker wrote this thing, sent it to some antivirus companies, and we immediately realized the significance of it.
Is this easy to copy somebody who might not have any association with the author of this one is going to be able to write something similar just by taking a close look at it?
So, yes, we will see people taking it, copying some of the concepts, copying some of the code, modifying that, and it's very hard to know what the end result of that is going to be.
Our interview on the Bubble Boy virus aired 10 years ago tomorrow. Broadband internet was still a dream for many people back in 1999. We ran an interview, which frankly sounds kind of weird and wrong now, which warned people that using always-on high-speed connections meant they would be more subject to snoops and thieves than if they used telephone dial-up connections.
What makes them generally less secure than a typical modem is that people who have cable modems or DSLs tend to leave them on the internet 24 hours a day. That makes them much more available to probable attacks. It makes your attackers much more likely to know exactly where you are on the internet. When you dial into the internet from a telephone modem, typically you have your own, you know, your address on the internet changes every time you dial in, so people can't just go to that address and expect to get you.
That was computer security expert Ira Winkler on November 18th, 1999. Just a few days later, we aired an interview with James Love of the Consumer Project on Technology, who, in the wake of the ruling earlier that month that Microsoft used monopoly power to harm consumers, told us that Microsoft should give up the Internet Explorer browser.
Microsoft was out there practically knocking the kneecaps off of Netscape and engaging in a wide range of what appears to be illegal activities to monopolize that market. They've pretty much done that now. But a lot of the damage could be undone by requiring Microsoft to divest the browser.
And to divest a browser, what exactly does that mean?
Well, that means that they'd have to sell the rights to the browser to a third party. They could then perhaps license some components of it on a non-exclusive basis for their operating system. But the basic browser unit, Microsoft Internet Explorer, would be something that would be distributed by another company.
And that interview first aired November 23rd, 1999. This has been the first of a series of occasional trips through the Future Tense archives. I'm John Gordon.